Welcome to another message from the Gospel of Matthew. We're studying the life of Christ and his teachings. And in this teaching that we're talking about now, the teachings of Christ, are very hard. They're hard teachings and teachings that seem like they're too difficult to attain. These standards, the ethics of the kingdom, seem like it is impossible to do these things. And Christ was dealing with people that thought they had attained perfection, that thought they had lived above sin, and thought that they were masters of the Word of God, an interpretation of the Word of God. And so Jesus just throws them loops. Their road, which they thought was straight and just narrow, the Lord just throws all kinds of obstacles in that road to where not one of them that's listening to him are able to attain that perfect, righteous set of rules that Christ is laying out before them. And the first set of rules that he's going to lay about is about anger. And 5:21-26. We'll so see how far we get with this message. We're teaching it from the Greek New Testament, the Nestle-Aland text, by the way. Ekousate hote erite. Tois archeois ou phonesis hos deon phonese. Anokos, este, te, krise. And he says, because you have heard, it was said, and we'll tell you where that was said in a few moments. It was said to the ancient ones, to the older people, not you shall kill. Actually, what it says, not you shall murder. Not you shall murder. Matter of fact, in the book of Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy, Exodus 20 and verse 13 and Deuteronomy 5:17 and then 16 and 18, it says, you shall not keep on murdering, is what it says. You shall not keep on murdering, because they were murderers. All men are murderers in their heart. You shall murder. For whosoever he may kill is anokos, is liable, responsible. He shall be to the judgment seat or court, the Sanhedrin, actually. Verse number 22. Ego de lego himen hote pas ho orgisimnos to adelpho autu enokos este te chrise hos de on epe to adelpho autu raka enokos este to synedrio hos de on epein Mure, enokos, este eisen geina, tu piros. Moreover, or but, I say to you, who's he talking to? Talking to all these Pharisees and all these scribes, all these Sadducees, all these Levites, all these priests that thought they had attained perfection. They said, well, we don't murder people. But yet, the Sicarii was out slipping around assassinating Roman soldiers all the time. But they didn't consider that murder. But I say to you all that every the one being angry, or gizomenos, being caused to be angry, with a brother of him. Now, and then later on said, who's my brother? with a brother of him, responsible, liable, he shall be during the judgment seat, the court. And whosoever he may say to the brother of him, damn you, is what it actually means. Damn you. You be damned. It means empty-headed. It means without a sacrifice. In other words, damn. Damn you. Liable, responsible, Exodus 34 and verse 20, he shall be to the council, the Sanhedrin. This word in Gesenius Hebrew grammar on page 768 is this word raka. And you'll find out that it means to be damned. Damn you, is what he said. He shall be to the council whoever he may say muroi, mure. That means we get a word moron from this. Senseless. Senseless. Not capable. Dull-minded, wicked. Liable he shall be to hell, Gehenna. To Piros. The valley of Hinnom, this Gehenna, is a type of hell Jesus used. One of the ungodly kings sacrificed children to the pagan gods of Canaan. And it was so distasteful to the people of Israel that the place forever became a garbage dump. From that time on, Jesus used the garbage dump where there was always flies, going to keep down the maggots. They continued having fire. There was always fires. They burned the garbage pit to keep the flies. That was what they had fly control, is the constant fires. And when they would take a dead person that was a criminal or whatever, they'd throw him on the fires and burn his body so the maggots would not eat him and produce more flies. A dead ox, a dead donkey, a dead criminal. To keep down the maggots of the adult fly population. And this is like what hell is. Hell is the garbage pit of humanity. The garbage pen of humanity is hell. Fires will burn there forever. It is a place of torments. People will be in hell fire. We're talking about the lake of fire now. In the lake of fire, you will see, you will hear, you will remember, you will feel, you will thirst. You'll be in agony of all your senses. If that's the place you wish to go. Jesus Christ gave us a perfect life and a perfect sacrifice. This word raka means no sacrifice. Damn you. That's what they said. This eternal fire. Those maggots in that eternal fire are souls. Asbestos souls. Souls that will never burn up. Those unfit for heaven will be disposed of in the eternal fires of hell. 5:23, on un prosferis. To duro si epi to diasa teron. Kake menestes hote ho de delphos. U su ege ti kata su. If therefore you may bring the gift, the duron. By the way, the lady's name Dora is from this word right here. It means gift. The gift of you upon the sacrificial altar. And there you may remember that the brother of you, he has something against you. Verse number 24. aphesa ke to duron, si emprosten tu theosaterum, theosateru that is, kai hippage, proton dia lage thi, to adelpho su kai tote elthon, prosere to duron su. You leave there the gift of you. Leave your gift there. Before the altar. And you go, you get. Actually, it's what you get. First, you be reconciled to the brother of you. And then, having come, you offer the gift. That word offer there means to carry it forth. You offer the duron, the gift of you. Your gift. 525. Isti unon to anta diko su toxi eos huton e met auton ente ud hodo me pote si parado ho anta dikos to krite. Kai ho krites, to hiperete, kai es phalakein, blethesen. You be knowing. You be completely, thoroughly be reconciled. You be deposed of any opponent. Of any obstacles between the fellowship and you and your brother. Quickly, the hoxy. Soon. The word taxi is from this word. The English word taxi comes from this word. It means soon, quickly. Until when or why, while you are with him in the way, in the road. Unless you, I might deliver the opponent to the judge. And the judge to the galley slave, the sergeant of arms. Hiporete, that means the under rower, literally. The galley slave or the sergeant of arms. It really meant the galley slave of the bottom deck. Originally from the Greek. But it means the sergeant of arms. And unto Philokane, unto lock and key, you shall be cast into. You shall be thrown into prison. Verse number 26. Jesus begins this verse by showing his deity. The priests, when they read something, they would say amen at the end of it. When Jesus spoke a edict, he said amen to begin with it, because he was deity. He was divine. Amen lego si u me exelthes ekethen eos on apodos ton eskaton kadrontain. Truly, absolutely, most affirmatively, a little particle of affirmation there, page 8. By the way, the word amen is used as a particle of affirmation. It means to hold up, to support. But in the book of Revelation, it's used as a pronoun, the amen, when it talks about Jesus. Truly I say to you, know not, you shall come out from there. Until you may pay back, apodos, you may pay back the last kadrontain, the last smallest denomination. Boy, there's no bankruptcy court here. You're going to pay back. You have heard that it was said, not you shall commit adultery. Oh, 27, I wasn't going to go that far, just 26. The next one's talking about marriage and adultery. The next set of messages that they could not attain. Jesus is giving unattainable righteousness before these people and are sitting there with their jaws dropped because they know they cannot do this. This is not humanly attainable. The ethics of the real kingdom of God. Verse number 21 in the Amplified Bible. You have heard that it was said to the men of old. Now these are the prophets. This is talking about Moses and Aaron and those at Mount Sinai. And I have said this before, that this is Mount Sinai of the New Testament. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill. And whoever kills shall be liable, so that he cannot escape the punishment imposed by the court. Exodus 20 and verse 13, and Deuteronomy 5, 17 and 16 and 18. But I say to you all that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice, enmity, or of a heart against him shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. These are unattainable points of righteousness that they could not attain. He's going to tell every one of them. He's going to throw rules out there that they cannot meet because they weren't meeting the ones they had. And they had been interpreting those rules in the Mishnah and the Talmud. Now Jesus gives us a plain interpretation of it. These are the ethics of the kingdom. And the punishment imposed by the court, the Sanhedrin, and whoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly to his brother shall be liable to, and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the Sanhedrin, and whosoever says, you cursed fool, damn you, Raca, you empty-headed idiot, shall be liable and unable to escape hell fire. He is damning all of them with his words. And by the way, these rules of the kingdom Jesus is giving them, they broke them all. Jesus was their brother, and they brought false charges against him. They continued to be hating him in their hearts. And even when they killed him on the cross of Calvary, when he died on the cross of Calvary, they attained his death. They weren't finished with him yet. They wanted Pontius Pilate to put a guard around that tomb so he couldn't be resurrected from the dead, because he knew that what he said. The apostles and the disciples did not understand everything he said, but these people, these wicked ones here that did not attain any righteousness, they would try their best to keep the report that Jesus Christ had gone to raise from the dead from happening. They understood it. The disciples didn't. Verse number 23. So if you are offering your gift, your duron, at the altar, you therefore remember that your brother has any grievance against you. How many times had these Jews, had these priests gone to the offering and confessed their sins, supposedly, and walked away forgiven, supposedly, and they were doing this to the very King of Israel, to the very Lord of glory. Leave your gift at the altar and go. First make peace with your brother. Then come back and present your gift. They couldn't do this. They wouldn't do this. Leave your gift at the altar, go and first make peace with your brother, and then come back and bring forward your offering. Come on terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way traveling with him, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'd be put in prison. When they fought false charges against Jesus to Pontius Pilate, and I will read that letter that he wrote to his father-in-law, Tiberius Caesar, when we get to that point. When they brought him before Pontius Pilate, he declared Jesus innocent 5 times. But when you brought charges, false charges against your brother, and it proved to be those charges were false, then you should have been executed with whatever punishment they were. And Pontius Pilate said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And they said what? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And it was. They are damning themselves. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the traveling with him, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never be released until you have paid the last fraction of a penny. The last fraction of a penny. The last fraction. What's Jesus talking about in these verses? The last fraction of the smallest denomination that they could think of. What was it? All of these people that Jesus was, all of these Pharisees, all of these Sadducees, all of these court recorders, the scribes, the Levites, the priests, the high priest, were all guilty of everything that Jesus just said. They had no righteousness at all. They were nothing but false, what do you call them, whitewashed tombs is what he called them in another place. Whitewashed tombs. Tombs that were full of dead men's bones, which they're not supposed to go near. That's done clean. He said, you people are all unclean. At one time, people used to carry silver bullion with them, or copper bullion, or gold bullion. And when they had to pay for what they were buying, they would take and clip off a section of that coin, a sliver of that coin, to pay for whatever they were buying. Jesus told them, you shall not depart. You shall not go your way until you've paid for the last little sliver. Let's look at the people that he's talking to. Very religious people. They thought they were above the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the word Pharisees means separated ones. They were separated. They prayed publicly. And Jesus is going to hit them dead on. He's going to hammer them with the maul of justice and the righteousness of God. These rules they were not keeping. These rules they could not attain in the state of mind that they were in. These are the rules of the kingdom over here. But their righteousness was a false righteousness. A false righteousness. He's going to tell them that you will not escape hell. You will be in the garbage pit of humanity. They cursed him themselves when they said, let his blood be upon us and our people. And I remember they did a program on TV about Masada and how that those wonderful Jews died to the last man there on that mountain, but it didn't tell you anything about what they'd been doing. Barabbas, one of the leaders that they turned loose, was the one of the men that would bring down the whole nation of Israel. They were going in and slipping in, the Sicarii were slipping in and killing Roman soldiers. These Sicarii would even go in villages and they would take captive and hold hostage. They even held a high priest hostage. They were paid. They thought that they were doing the will of God in their guerrilla warfare. And when Masada was overtaken by the 10th Roman Legion and the 10th Roman Legion went over those walls and they found out only a few women and children left alive. All the others they had killed with those sharp two-edged swords. the Sicarii, the Jewish mafia. These people would bring down that nation because of their stubbornness, because of their abhorrence of their king. That was Jesus. One of them on that cross, remember there were three crosses up there, Jesus in the middle. Now Bullinger said there might have been two on each side, and that's, I don't know, maybe. But one of those people that was a Sicarii, one of them that was a Sicarii, he looked at Jesus and he said, "This man did nothing wrong, yet we deserve what's happening to us. We deserve what's happening to us." And he said, "Lord Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me?" And he said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." That man was in paradise. That Sicarii, that evildoer, was in paradise that day with Jesus. And these, the ones that would damn Jesus and call curses from heaven upon him, many of these would be end up permanent residents of Hades until the great resurrection, the white, great white throne, and then they shall be thrown into the lake of fire, that garbage pit of humanity that is not fit for the kingdom of God. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. There's not one person out there that has to go to hell today. They will not go to hell because of sin. And these rules that Jesus is laying down here just aren't attainable in this life. But he brought those people, some of them, to their knees. Matthew believed. Nicodemus believed. Joseph believed. Simon the Sicarii believed. Judas Iscariot did not believe. We see all of these people that believed and those that and continuously, stubborn-heartedly, that would not come to you. Father, I pray that if there's one out there that doesn't know to hear this message, that they'll fall on their knees and beg you for mercy, because they cannot meet these rules. And the rules that come on further from this one onward are just more rules of the same, unattainable rules. But they were for a purpose, Father. We know that. To show that all men need Christ's blood. That we all must bow our knees and our hearts to you and ask for forgiveness and mercy. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus died for us. I pray for all of my students out there, Father. I pray that you hold them up. I pray for my church that's not there. I thank you for Sharon as she listens to these messages and writes these beautiful, beautiful comments. Donald Grewar, all the ones, and those in Texas and New York and Australia, all over, that write those, Nancy in Pennsylvania. Father, I thank you for them, the children you've given to me. Please feed them, nourish their hearts and their souls, and please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.